This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abam, welcome everyone to tonight's very special shiur, the shiurim on Sefer Shemois, are sponsored by Dr. Zakheim Umishpachta, Leiloi Nishmas Rav Shloime Eliez ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim, and Leiloi Nishmas Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka Bas Tuvia Halevi, the Nesham Shem and Aliyah, be Melissa Yisharm to the whole family, Abi Askoel Tzedek. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by my dear friend, Rab David Weber, Leiloi Nishmas, David's grandfather, Alter Avraham ben Elkanah, Neshama Shav and Aliyah, he will be a Melissa Yisharm to his whole family, Simcha Sanachas, Abi Askoel Tzedek. Okay, so the good news is, the book finally arrived on Purim. It was concealed, now it has been revealed, and it's available for the first place on planet Earth here at the Wednesday night shiur. So pick it up now before they're gone. If you want, if your friend doesn't have it yet, you could order for him on artscroll.com. If he's not your friend yet, make him your friend and order from artscroll.com. You have two options. You could order the book or you could send him the concealed and revealed Shalach Manis package. Not only the Art Scroll book, but Art Scroll wafers and Art Scroll Hamantaschen. So it's available at artscroll.com. Okay, Parshas Vayakhel. This is an interesting one, and interesting subject, and interesting adventures. The Pasuk says, V'chol isha chachmas lev, every woman who is wise-hearted, biyadeha tavu, spun with her hands. Vayaviu matve, they brought the spun yarn, es hatachilas, the blue wool, ves haragaman, the purple wool, ves toilas hashani, the crimson wool, ves hashesh, and the linen. So it's an interesting pasuk. It says, every smart woman, she sewed. It doesn't say every talented woman sewed, every artistic woman sewed, every wise woman sewed. As if the wisdom of women should be channeled only to sewing. And in fact, that's what the Gemara says. Now, tonight's shiur has no political connotation. I am only here not to present my personal opinion, as I never do. I'm here to tell you the traditional viewpoint of Chazal through the perspective of Talmud Bavli and the Midrashim, and nothing that Chazal said is based on social norms of their times or of our times. All the words of Chazal are based on the eternal values that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. Nothing is meant to be pejorative. Nothing has any negative connotation. Chazal say the facts as they are, as was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. Whether that's comfortable for people or uncomfortable for people, I and Chazal are unapologetic about what the Ribbono Shel Olam communicated to Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's study it with an open mind and see what?
Scaring.
Yeah, I know. When you hear a disclaimer like that, you know, watch out. It's like, you know, when I at certain junctures in my life, certain positions, you know, to duck when you hear the following expression, with all due respect, Rabbi, you know, you know? So whenever you get an introduction, you always have to be careful. Okay, so the Gemara in Yuma tells us, Sho'ala isha chachama es Rabbi Elazar. A very wise woman asked Rabbi Elazar, Me'achar shemase o'egol shavin. If basically everyone participated in the eagle equally, it's not like one guy was more of a participator than anybody else, then they ma'in misasin shavin. So then, why didn't everybody get the same death? Some people died by the plague, some people got hadraka, and some people died by the sword. That was the question a wise woman asked Rabbi Elazar. You know, what made her wise? How did he know she was wise? She had a sign on her. Wise woman. She was known to be a wise woman. And Rabbi Elazar very courteously and politely tells the woman, Amar la, ein chachma le'isha bepelech. Lady, you think you're wise? Well, let me tell you what the wisdom of women is for. The wisdom of women is to sow. In other words, that's how much I value your wisdom. You know, if your wisdom should be dedicated to knitting mittens. That's what Ein chachma li'isha ela bepelech. V'chein hu oimer, v'chol isha chachma slave, and every woman who is wise-hearted, v'yadeha tavu, sewed with her hands. So what Chazal seemed to be saying is that to put it in the most proper and delicate way, is that while women can enter all types of endeavors and disciplines, nevertheless, when it comes to the scholarship of Torah, the chachma that the Rebbe Hashem has given to them is not recognized in the realm of Torah scholarship. That seems to be what the Gemara is saying. Bansa Besa. The wisdom of a woman builds the house. Right? So she, in other words, it's for domesticated activities. It's for inside the home. But when it comes to the scholarship of women, the Gemara seems to say a principle, Kol Isha Chachma Se Biyadea Tavu, Ein Chachma Liisha Ela Bepelech. In fact, the Medrash HaGadol says in this week's Parsha, V'chol Isha Chachma Se V'lamedcha, She'ein Chachma Liisha Ela Bepelech, Avo B'dover Acher Loi. Not only is it not recognized when it comes to Torah scholarship, B'dover Acher Loi, Chas V'chalila, that they have what is described in the Pasuk. Okay, so the Gemara does not seem to be recognizing Chachmas Isha in the realm of Torah scholarship. This is what we want to discuss today. I think we're going to come out with some very interesting perspectives, facts, and historical figures. Yeah, that's a good book. Facts? What did I say? Because once I say it, I don't even remember.
Facts, figures, and historical
figures.
What?
What about in the
field? Yeah? We're just getting warmed up. So there's a shiloh that arose in the writings of Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger is reputed to have written 365 svarim. And he was asked whether you say tzidkas chatzedek on chalamayid. Do you say tzidka din on chalamayid? So the Navi in Shmuel tells us the story of a woman by the name of Ritzba Bas Aya, who mourned the sons of Shaul who were killed. And the Pasuk says that after she mourned the sons of Shaul who were killed, she said Hatsur, which the Medrash interprets to mean she said Hatsur Tamim Pa'alai. So, and it says it was Bishas Kitsir Sa'irim, which is Cholamoid. So we have a Raya, that someone to bring a Raya, not like the Rama, that we do say Tzidek Hadin on Chol HaMoed. Says Rav Shlomo Kluger, if you think you could bring any type of halachic proof from anything a woman ever did, including women mentioned in Tanakh, don't you know the Gemara's position? Ein chachma li'isha ela bepelech. The wisdom of women is reserved for domesticated activities, and it doesn't matter how great she is, it doesn't matter where she's mentioned, she can be mentioned in Tanakh, nevertheless, Her activities, even though the Gemara, the Medrash Darshan's halachas, that when she said the word Hatsur, she was being matzdik the din. Nevertheless, because the Gemara says in Brachas, we just did the Mishnah Yomis, at the end of Brachas, the Mishnah says that, well, maybe you can't bring a raya from Boyaz, because Boyaz acted for himself. Says Rav Shlomo Kluger, if you can't bring a raya from Boyaz, how could you bring a raya from a woman? And therefore, regardless, nevertheless, it could be that she did it privately, and maybe an Avel could be matzdik din privately, but publicly, ein lemalois lev livchais adoinenu harama, who could have the audacity to push off the words of the Rama, ki moisha emes, the sairasa emes, and the fact that a woman, even in biblical times, did something, cannot be brought in the arena of halacha. Okay, so we have a Gemara that says, ein ish chachma b'isha ela b'pelech, and we have a tshuva from Rav Shlomo Kluger. So you say, well, what's going on? But we know there was a very wise woman. She was such a wise woman. And by the way, you're saying, oh, no, this is Gladstein trying to give a Rav Meir share again. Because we know that Bruria, the wife of Rabbi Meir, was a very wise woman. In fact, the Gemara says in Psachim, number 16, that Bruria, the daughter of Rav Hanina ben Trajan, the wife of Rav Meir, she would learn 300 Gemaras from 300 sages in one day. So she learned 9,000 halachas in one day. More than a lot of people you know ever learned in their whole life. Right? So she was a very eminent sage. In fact, the Tosefta says in Klayim that there was a Shiloh when a certain type of oven became Tahar. So they asked the son of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyon, and he gave one opinion. They asked Bruria, the daughter of Hanina ben Tradyon, and she gave another opinion. And all the rabbis said, Yafa Amra Bitoy Mehahu. She's good Geret. She's saying good. She's saying she's a better Chacham than her brother, who is a Tana. So we know that Bruria was an eminent sage. I mean, when she would walk in the Beis Medrash and she saw a guy learning quietly, and we know the Gemara says when you learn quietly and you don't pronounce the words, you're going to forget what you're learning, she kicked him. And the Gemara says she was right, because if you don't say you're learning, then you're going to forget it. So here, Chazal seemed to recognize the prowess and learning of Bruria. In fact, the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, remember the Bar Yoinim? There were bandits in the neighborhood of Rav Meir, and they were annoying him. You know, they were, I don't know, what were they doing? They were shooting firecrackers at 11:45 p.m., and, you know, they were just making trouble and making a ruckus. So Rav Meir was getting annoyed. So Rav Meir davened they should drop dead. Because it's very hard to throw firecrackers if you're dead, you know? And that would basically take care of the problem. And Bruria said, what are you doing, Rav Meir? Why are you davening they should die? You should. So he said, what should I do? Said Bruria, what do you hold? Because the pasuk says, Yitamu chatoim min ha'aretz. So you want to eradicate evildoers. It doesn't say choitim, it says chatoim. And it says, Urisham eideinam. If there's no sin, there won't be wicked. But rather, you need to pray that they do tshuva, and there won't be wicked anymore. So Rav Meir, poor Rav Meir, got shown up by Bruria. And Rav Meir started to them that they should do tshuva, and these bandits are now learning in Beis Medrash Gavoya, and they're Rashi Chabura, and the story, you know, or in all good, maybe in Bnei Brak, wherever they're learning, they turned around. Says the Munkacher, every guy off the street thinks that this teaching of Bruria is like Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Like, you know, if there are wicked people around, don't chas v'sham daven that they should die. Daven that they should do tshuva, because Rav Meir made a mistake and he davened that they should die, and Bruria showed him up as if like Bruria is the G'dayla Hadar, and everybody and everyone, you know, kowtows to Bruria. Says the Munkacher in Divrei Torah, Chelek Beis, we once spoke this out 7 years ago on a Sunday morning, just Agav Orcha, we were learning something. Says the Munkacher, because you have one pasuk in Tehillim that says, Yitamu chataim and not choitim, you're going to say, oh, David HaMelech holds, you shouldn't pray for the downfall of the wicked. You have about 1,000 other psukim in Tehillim that David davens that the Risham should drop dead. And in almost every other paragraph of Tehillim, David curses the Risham, and he gives them terrible curses. And he davens they should have a downfall. And in Navi it says, Be'ibad Risham Rina, when Risham are destroyed, you should sing. So because Bruria came up with one pasuk, oh, it doesn't say Yitamu Choytim, it says Chatom, like everybody, yeah, from now on, we can't daven that the wicked should die, we should daven they should do tshuva. As if like a guy has a trouble with Russia, and he's going to really daven, oh, this guy who's, you know, giving me a hard time and making noise in the middle of the night, I pray that he should go to the old city and go to the discovery seminar and he should do tshuva, and now he's going to bother me. Like that's going to happen overnight. Says the Munkacher, of course we don't hold like Bruria. Otherwise, if you look down in the Gemara later on that very page, says that Rabbi Yochanan said, David lived in five worlds, and not until he got up to Perek Kuf Gimel did he daven for the downfall of the Rishayim. So that Gemara, and says Gemara, where did David daven for the downfall of Risham? Shenemar, Yitamu chatom in aretz Risham oideinam. So that very Gemara learns that David wasn't davening that sin should cease, David was davening that sinners should die. So says the Munkacher, why didn't the Gemara bother saying, and that argues on Bruria? Says the Munkacher, because the Gemara doesn't care what Bruria holds, because she is an Isha, ve'ein chachma lenashim Ella bepelech. That is the approach of the Munkacher. And therefore, says Munkacher, we disregard Bruria Shita. And why Rav Meir listened to her? That's a personal thing between him and her, why he listened to her, you know? But in terms of halacha, we do. Not only do we not agree with her, the Gemara would not even bother to say that we don't hold like her, because why should we even say we don't hold like her? There's a rule in halacha, ein chachma le'isha, ella bepelech. So you can say, why are we being derogatory? I'm not here. I'm not telling you anything what I think, what you think. It's irrelevant what I think. It's relevant what you think. We're just here to say, what is the opinion of Chazal as learned by the Chachmei Hadoros? You do like it. You don't like it. That's not my... I can't be concerned with anybody's personal... But that seems to be the approach of the Gemara in Brachas, according to the Munkacher. This is the opinion of the Reb Shlomo Kluger, as well as the Gemara in Yuma, where a woman came to Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Lazar sort of dismissed her. However, here's where it gets interesting. You open up the Hakdama of the Sma. We know the Sma wrote the classic commentary on Choshen Mishpat and other Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch. And he also wrote a parasha on the Torah, the Drisha and the Prisha. The Sma was Nifter in 1614. So that means, you know, he lived in the 16th century. 17. If he was Nifter in 1614, then he lived in the 16th century. He also lived a couple years in the 17th century, but he primarily lived in the 16th century, yeah? And he was married to a very righteous woman. Her name was Maras Bela Katz. The Sma was a Koyin Tzedek. The Sma was a very Meyuchastik Koyin. And the Sma had a son, Yuzpa, who wrote the Hakdama to the Drisha and the Prisha. And the son of the Sma talks about his mother in the Hakdama, the Drisha and the Prisha, what a righteous woman she was, that her father was Zaycha to all his kavod in because of his very righteous wife, who brought all the kavod to the father, and she was the glory and the splendor of all of Klal Yisrael. And even though she was an only daughter, and her father was a wealthy philanthropist, and she grew up in the lap of luxury, not only was she not immersed in Gashmius, she despised Gashmius. And she barely ate. And she barely ate food. She had to eat because she had to tend to her husband. When the Sma died, Bela Katz no longer ate, period. She fasted every single day of her life, period. Only eating in the nighttime. And even in the night, she never ate from a balchai, only fruits to keep herself alive. Not only that, she cooked up a storm, but she would not eat from it, only give it to the aniyim. Now, says the son of the Sma, let me tell you, the Seder Hayoim of Imi Mayrasi. She woke up many hours before davening, whether in the summer or the winter, and she went to the Beis HaKnesses. And she davened for many, many hours before davening started. She davened with a minyan, and then she stayed many hours after the davening. So every morning she spent a good 5-6 hours in the Beis HaKnesses davening. When she finished that, don't think that, okay, she went home to eat. No. Now it's time to learn. She was Koivea Itim La Torah. And she learned Chumash. And she mastered Chumash and Rashi. She had many, many Chidushim in Torah. And whenever their Devei Torah sat at the table, my mother always participated, and she was a Koyach in Torah. And then, after that, we'll see what she did. Says the son of the Drisha and the Prisha, she was such a Koyach in Torah, I will now tell you now. Two Piske halachos from my mother, that she realized all Jewish women are acting incorrectly, and because of her, we paskin like her, and all of Klal Yisrael does the right thing because of my mother, Mrs. Bela Katz. That women were making two mistakes when it comes to hadlakas neiros on Yom Tov. Mistake number one: we know that on Shabbos, really, what you should do is make Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shemayim Vaharetz Zman Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. And then light the candle, because you always make a bracha over la'asiyasam. The problem is there is a shita, that when you light the candle, and when you say the bracha, you're mekabel Shabbos. So how could you make the bracha and then light the candle? Now, I'll make a tanai. But there's also a shita, you can't make a tanai on the Kabbalah Shabbos. Even though we don't paskin that way, but there is such an opinion. So in deference to that shita, what women do is they first light, but then the bracha is not over la'asiyasam. They cover the candle. Now, why women do this, nobody knows. Okay, and I'm not here to tell you because I don't know either. But what this is, I don't know. They're bringing in the Shabbos, but greater people than me have struggled with that, and I'm not here to explain that part. They could, the smas's mother said they cover the candle, so they're not nene. They light it, they make the bracha, and then they uncover. Because of that, they figure Yom Tov they should do the same thing. So women, what they did on Yom Tov is they lit the candle, they cover the candle, they make the bracha, they uncover the candle, like they do on Shabbos. Says the wife of the Sma, that's incorrect. Just because they do that Shabbos, why in the world would you do it Yom Tov? They do it Shabbos because making the bracha is a Kabbalah Shabbos, so then if you're Mekabel Shabbos, you can't light the candle. But on Yom Tov, you're allowed to light the candle. So on Yom Tov, you have to make the bracha, and then you light the candle like you do on Chanukah. Hadlik ner shel Chanukah, and then you light the candle. So therefore, says the wife of the Sma, you have to be a lamdan. You can't just say, "Well, I learned about that in Beis Yaakov, the kitchen sink, Idaho." So that's what I have to do. No, you have to think about it. It doesn't make sense to do that on Yom Tov, and therefore you should not do it on Yom Tov. Now, when the Sma was alive, the wife of the Sma did not speak up about anything. We're going to see what happened after he died. But you're allowed to do it. Look, covet. Let's soyrich. Yeah. Okay.
You can't light a new light.
Okay. So you get it from an existing light. So you get it from the second mistake, and this second mistake people still make. We know on many women when they light the neros of Yom Tov, so Yom Tov comes, and they're setting the table, and they're taking care of their kids, and their husband comes. Oh, welcome home! And she goes and she lights the ner Yom Tov. Why does she do that? We know the second day of Yom Tov, she has to do that. She's not allowed to do it early because you're not allowed to be Mechin from the first day to the second day. So the women think, just like the second day you have to wait until the husband comes home to light, the first day you also have to wait until the husband comes home. It's ridiculous. The halacha is, when the husband comes home, the table should be set and the light should be lit. So therefore, Rebbetzin Bela Katz instituted that on the first day of Yom Tov, the women light the Neros in the beginning of Yom Tov, just like they light the Neros of Shabbos in the beginning of Shabbos. Now, when Dad passed away, when the Sma passed away, Mom came and told my wife, "Don't you dare, Erev Yom Tov, you know, do the thing and go, then go like that. First make the bracha, and then you light. And then on Yom Tov also, the first night, you got to light right away." Now, back to Bela Katz's daily Seder. Back to her daily Seder. You think after she spent 5 hours davening and then learning the Parsha, you think then she went and she wasted her time? No. Then the rest of the day, she did tzedakah, chesed, and any mitzvah she could be involved with. Sewing tzitzis, sewing sifrei Torah, sewing talesim, making a kittel. Any mitzvah in the ear in the city she had her hand in. All of her thoughts were only to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim kol yameha. And she loved Eretz Yisrael. But what she could do, she's married to the Sma. Where is the Sma buried? In the Ukraine. Where? In Lvov, of course. And as soon as the Sma died, she did something unheard of. She made Aliyah in the early 17th century. Not possible. She by camel and by I don't know what, she got to Eretz Yisrael. What'd she do when she got to Eretz Yisrael? She visited every kever of a tzaddik in every city in Eretz Yisrael. But then where are you going to live? She lived in Yerushalayim, and she did not eat for the rest of her life. Because of that, she passed away at the age of 58, and she was so honored and respected in Yerushalayim that they buried her within 4 amos of Zechariah, Hanavi, and Har HaZeisim. Now, luckily I already went to the Ukraine. And when I went to the Ukraine last summer, I went to the city of Lvov. And basically, with great nisim v'neflois, I made it to the monument of the kever of the Taz, the Shai Lomeshev, the Yeshuas Yaakov, the Chacham Tzvi, and the Sma. So I was reading about the Sma, and I was reading about his wife was an amazing tzaddikas, and it said his wife is buried on Har HaZeisim. So a few, last week, when I went down to Har HaZeisim, first time in my life I ever went to the kever of Zechariah ben Yoyada. It's not easy to go down there, by the way. Went down to Har HaZeisim, and I went to the kever of the Bar Tanura, and I said, Maras Bela Katz. And I davened by the kever of Maras Bela Katz, the wife of the Sma. Who is she? She's the Poisig for Klal Yisrael regarding Halakas Neros of Yom Tov. And this is brought in the Hakdama of the Prish on the Drisha. Comes the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham says in Siman Reish Samach Gimel that on Friday night a woman should first light the candles and then make the bracha. Because if she makes the bracha, she's not going to be able to light. So then it should come out, says the Magen Avraham, that on Yom Tov, first you make the bracha and then you light. And that's what the wife of the Sma holds. The wife of the Sma? Who cares what the wife of the Sma holds, says the Magen Avraham. Ein chachma le'isha ela bepelech. The wife of the Sma, she might have been a smart woman, so let her sow Sifrei Torah. But why would we entertain her reasoning when it comes to halacha?
But he said the same thing.
No, even though logically he understands what she's saying, but we're not going to pay any deference to the wife of the Sma. You know, now why not? What was her mistake? Her mistake was light plug. If the rabbi said that when it comes to lighting for Shabbos, you need to first light and then make the bracha, light plug for Yom Tov. They're not going to start making different halachas for different times. Once the rabbi said when it comes to Shabbos, first light and then make the bracha, you can't start differentiating by Yom Tov. Says the Magen Avraham, I'll bring you two proofs. One, Simen Kuf Nun Ches, and the other, Toysis Emsachem Dav Zayin Amid Beis. Take that, Esha Sasma. But what does he mean? What do you mean, Simen Kuf Nun Ches? And what does he mean, Dav Zayin Amid Beis? So the Noid Behuda explains that it seems that the wife of the Sma's mistake was, we wash until Sidayim for bread. I know, it's like one of the big crimes in America is eating bread. Chas v'sham, to eat bread. Like it's so, you know, chas v'sham not to wear a mask. And even worse than that, eating bread. It's like you're a evil person if you eat bread. But in Judaism, we hold it's a good thing to eat bread. That, you know, people wonder why they're always depressed and anxious and nervous and bitter because they don't eat bread in the morning. The Gemara says if you eat bread in the morning, it's mevatel, sinna, and kinna, and anger, and the people just drink coffee, so they're in a bad mood. You got to eat bread in the morning. Yod Aleph Dvarim Nemru B'Pas Shachris. Anyway, so when you wash until Sidayim, how do you wash until Sidayim? First you wash your hands, and then you make the... But wait a second, shouldn't you make the bracha and then wash? What? Ovelasiyosin. First you should make them wash. The answer is, since sometimes you're coming out of the Beis HaKise and your hands are dirty, under those circumstances, first you have to wash and then you make a bracha, so even if you're not coming out of the Beis HaKise, loy plug, and you always wash and then make a bracha. So you see, when the rabbis tell you when to make the bracha, because of a certain scenario, then across the board you apply it to all situations. Next. When a ger converts and goes to the mikvah, does he first make the bracha and then go to mikvah, or first go to the mikvah and then make the bracha?
He first
goes to the mikvah. Otherwise, what's he say? Asher kedishanu b'mitzvah, he's a guy. Yeah. So therefore, anytime there's a mitzvah to go to the mikvah, you always go to the mikvah and then you make a bracha. Why? Loy plug! Says Noy Bihuda, in my opinion, the wife of the Sma is correct and the Magen Avraham is incorrect. Why? Because in the case of Netilas Yadayim, there's one bracha, Al Netilas Yadayim. So we have to uniformly make Netilas Yadayim the same in all circumstances. So first you're going to wash and then say Al Netil Sidayim, even if you're not coming out of the bathroom. But since there are cases you're coming out of the bathroom, all Al Netil Sidayims have to be the same. Or the bracha on Tevila is Al HaTevila, whether you're a ger or you're a homegrown Jew. Therefore, because it's always the same bracha, you always go to the mikvah and then you make the bracha. But why in the world would we say that just because Shabbos, first you light and then you make the bracha, so Yom Tov, Also, first you light and then you make bracha. It's two different brachas. One is lahadlik ner shel Shabbos and one is lahadlik ner shel Yom Tov. So why would you say loy plug when it's, you only say loy plug if it's the same exact bracha. If it's the same bracha, it has to be uniformly and under all circumstances. But why would the way you say lahadlik ner shel Shabbos be like the lahadlik ner shel Yom Tov? Lahadlik ner shel Shabbos, first you light and then you make the bracha. Lahadlik ner shel Yom Tov, first you light and then you light. Says in the Yehuda, the proof is in the pudding. What do you do by Hanukkah? You light the Chanukah menorah and then you say lahadlik ner shel Chanukah because on Shabbos, first you light the ner and then you say the bracha? Of course not. It's a different bracha. Lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. So just like lahadlik ner shel Chanukah is a different bracha. Lahadlik ner shel Yom Tov is a different bracha. Says the Noi to be Yehuda, aye, but the Gemara says, ein chachma l'nashim apelech. The wisdom of women is good for making mittens. Yeah, but what about the next pasuk in the Chumash? Says in the next pasuk in the Chumash, number 10 is V'chol hanoshim asher nosa liban oisana b'chachma. There's a madriga that sometimes a woman could have such generosity of spirit that it could bring them to the madriga of nosa liban oisana b'chachma. Eishes hasma was not what we say chol isha chachma slave. You know what wise women do? Biyodeha tavu so. She's on a higher madriga. She's the madriga of the next pasuk. V'chal anoshim asher nosa liban oisana b'chachma. Her heart ennobled her. The same way, you know, here you have a guy, he's making pyramids all day. And then he comes out of Mitzrayim and God says, chisel the kruvim. So Rabban asks, how in the world does this guy know how to chisel the kruvim? You know, he's being whipped, he's a menial worker. How does he know how to make a menorah? So the answer is, his heart, the generosity of spirit he had, propelled him to levels of wisdom that he was perhaps was inaccessible. So even though in general the wisdom of women is reserved for domesticated activities, there can be a certain madriga that a woman could reach that could propel her to a level where she understands things on a very high level. Comes the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer says, Mrs. Bela Katz is correct, not the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham should have realized it because Rebbetzin Katz bavorned the Magen Avraham's kasha toich gedei dibura. She addressed the Magen Avraham's question in her words because she says, just like Ner Chanukah, where you make the bracha and then you light. What she's saying is, since it's a different nusach habracha, the same way Ner Chanukah, first you make the bracha and then you light, so too Ner Yom Tov, first you make the bracha and then you light. By the way, Rebbe Ki, what? So is Yom Tov.
Yeah, but Yom Tov is after Shabbos.
Why is it Gzera?
Because whoever sees you doing it on Shabbos, Yom Tov might think, hey, you can do it on Shabbos too.
So you got to go like the Magen Avraham, and the Noi de Yehuda goes like Mrs. Bela Katz, you know? So.
Women just think that.
So, Rabbi Kiva Eger Bechlal doesn't understand the Magen Avraham of because Shabbos they were masakin to first light and then make the bracha, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, they were never masakin to first light and then make the bracha. That would only be true if we hold like the Bahag, that once you light, you're makabel Shabbos and you can't make a Tanai. But first of all, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, we hold Litzoyrech. You're allowed to make a Tanai. The only thing is, we hold Shalei Litzorech, we're in deference to the Poskim that a Tanai doesn't help, so we do the better thing and we light and then make a bracha. But by the way, Sfaradim don't do that. Sfaradim, they always make the bracha and then light, because we hold. That's what Sfaradim do Friday night. They make a bracha and then light. They make it over Las Yosem, like the Mechaber. Why? Because we anyway, even Ashkenazim, we paskin be'ikr, you're not mekabel Shabbos when you light the neiros. I mean, nobody else in the family is mekabel Shabbos, and even the woman herself, if she has a tzorech, she's allowed to make a tnai that she's not mekabel Shabbos. That's what many women do on Yom Kippur. They light the neiros, and then they drive to shul. Or even not on Yom Kippur, they have a simcha. They go to the Friday night. The halacha is they shouldn't do it every single week, but if there's a particular need, a woman is allowed to make a tanai. So that means it's not set in stone that a woman must light and then make the bracha. It's only a preference. That's why we keep Eger. Because of a preference, you're going to say, oh, by Shabbos you have to light and then make the bracha. Yom Tov, on Shabbos you don't have to light and then make the bracha. If she wanted to make the bracha and then light, she could do that also. And Bechlau, says Rabbi Kiveger, he doesn't understand the whole thing. Question. If you're so worried about the opinion that when you light your Mekabel Shabbos, there's no woman in the world that lights one candle. She lights at least two candles, maybe more, sometimes more. So I have a question. How she could he light the 11th candle? She was Mekabel Shabbos when she lit the first candle. The answer is you're not Mekabel Shabbos until you're finished. So you're not Mekabel Shabbos until you're finished. And lighting the first candle is not a Kabbalah, then making a bracha is not a Kabbalah either. Bottom line is, the Shari Tshuva quotes the Chida, that other reasons why we paskin like Mrs. Bela Katz and not like the Magen Avraham. One of them is, even by Tevila, Be'ikar Hadin, you could make the bracha and then be Toivel. It's just we do that Lenekiyos Ba'alma. We go to the mikveh and then make the bracha because it's clean. This way you're cleaner. But when it comes to Yom Tov, of course it's better to make the bracha and then to light, and that's the halacha.
Lighting candles is not even the mitzvah for a woman, it's for a man.
The lighting candles is a mitzvah on the bayis, and we give it to the woman because she's...
But it's a Zman Grama.
Yeah, but on Shabbos, women are chayiv in Zman Grama. The bottom line is... The bottom line is that while it comes to many areas of halacha, we apply the rule, Ein chachma l'isha ela b'pelech. The question now is, can there be an out-of-the-ordinary situation where a woman could be so davuk ta'kadosh baruch hu and so scholarly that when she issues a halacha, it's reckoned with. And the Noid Behuda is of the opinion there is such a concept, and it's learned out from the very pasuk that the Gemara darshins, Ein Chachma L'isha Ela B'Pelech, the very next pasuk is V'chol Anoshim Asher Nasa Liba Noisana B'Chachma. That is quoted by the Noid Behuda, that is quoted by the Shari Tshuva, and apparently the Magen Avraham says no. Ein Chachma, I would say the Magen Avraham holds that he would say to Noid Behuda, Noid Behuda, you didn't finish reading the end of that pasuk. The end of the pasuk, the really smart women, they could sew special things on goats. So regular women who are smart, they could sew mittens. And women who are very smart, they could sew goats. That's what Magen Avraham would say. There's not some special level. But yeah, but what did they do? Tavu Esayizim. By the way, you know which woman this was? Chazal Darshan, it was Miriam. Why? Listen to this, Reb Chaim Kanievsky says. Because she's called the Chachama. And Miriam was a chachama. What's a midwife? A chachama is a midwife. Now, why is a midwife called a chachama? You ready for this, says Reb Chaim? Ezehu chacham haroyes hanoilad. Get it? A midwife is called a chacham because ezehu chacham haroyes hanoilad. Okay, so that's the question. Can there be an out-of-the-ordinary situation where a woman's Torah scholarship is reckoned? So I'll tell you some interesting stories. We mentioned Bruria, but even Lagabi Bruria, the Munkacher said, the Gemara doesn't even concern itself to say that we don't hold like Bruria, even in the issue of Rameir and Bruria. The Marshal, we know the Marshal was one of the greatest of all the Achroinim, he brings in Simon Chavtes, that his tradition is that his grandmother was a Rosh Hashiva in Klal Yisrael. Not only that, she gave shir from behind a curtain. Now, this is not talking about she had like some little yeshiva on one exit somewhere in New Jersey. No. She was Tafsa Yeshiva. And he said, "V'yashva b'oyo v'iloin lefaneh v'amra halacha lefnei bachurim muflagim." In the times of the Rishonim, Rav Pesachia of Regensburg, he brings down that one of the Rishonim had a daughter, and she remained locked up in a room, and she gave shiur through a window. Now, what would the Munkacher say? What would the Magen Avraham say? The Magen Avraham says no such thing. Ein chachma l'ish al bepalach. But noid b'yehuda, there could be such a situation. Comes a chida, and the chida offers the following guideline. Says the chida, look, the bottom line is there are many, many isolated stories. However, in kol chadash tachas hashemesh, I mean, the Gemara says there were seven neviyos, and the Gemara says in Bava Basra, benoy slavcha ad chachmani yoseim. However, says the chida, the Gemara says ein chachma l'isha bepelech, that a woman's Torah scholarship is not reckoned. It's true. Ruba deruba 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 of the time, her scholarship is not reckoned. There is a miut de miut, a very small minority, as a reality, that a woman could have a certain scholarship, and it's up to the chachmei hadoros to decide whether it is something that is recognized or not. But it's such a small minority that even Reb Meir, who's choshish for the miut, he's not choshish for that miut. So in other words, what did Reb Meir hold about Bruria? Did Reb Meir say, "Well, you know, I'm the choshish for the miut, so I have"? No. Even Reb Meir wasn't choshish for the miut. So the chida seems to be saying, in other words, the munkach in the Magen Avraham says, no, blanket in chacham liyishel bepelach. And the Noid Behuda and the Chassam Sofer say, no, it's Shayach. V'chalisha chachma slev asher nadva rucha isai. And the Chida seems to say there is such a phenomenon, but it's a very isolated case. And therefore, one thing you know, have to know for sure. Anytime there's any type of shita or movement, it's incorrect at its very foundation. There could be an isolated individual, but it's only an individual. There's no shita, there's no movement. The movement, the shita, the Gemara already classifies what the attitude of, again, we're not talking about, of course, women have to learn, the Chafetz Chaim writes in Likutei Halachos, that back in the day, so women didn't go to formal school because they got their hashkafa from the home and from their mothers and from their tradition, and nowadays that women go out and they learn many disciplines, of course they have to learn halacha and musar and whatever is relevant to them, and that's sort of a new phenomenon, and that is endorsed by all the Gedolei Yisrael. But to have, when we say Torah scholarship, what we're talking about, not the woman, of course, there could be very eminent women who are influencing their talmidos in Yerushamayim and in Hashkafa, and that's not what we're discussing. We're talking about in the world of Psak. In the world of Psak, there could be such a thing. The thing is, you got to like scan back. Okay, 500 years ago, we have the wife of the Sma. It's not an ordinary thing. It's not a routine thing. And certainly, any type of movement or any type of shita is puzzle meikaroi umitchilasei. Yeah, but that's not scholarship. That's Torah Shebichsav. You can, many people could read the Torah.
It shows that the women knew better than the men. I mean, this is the Gemara.
Sometimes it could be, but that's again, that's not not in the world of halacha. What if you had a woman who was a Talmud Chacham, and she walked into the room? Would you have to stand up for her? What if she's a zakena? I'm not talking about a zakena. So the Minchas Chinuch talks about this. In Mitzvah Rishon on Zion, the Minchas Chinuch says that the halach is men and women all both have to stand up for Talmid Chachamim. But to stand up for an old woman, we paskin that you have to stand up for an old man even if he's a complete Am Haaretz. So you have to stand up for an old woman. But what about a woman who is a Torah sage? Says Menachas Chinuch, Bevadai ein sarach lamav b'nei isha. You for sure do not have to stand up for her. Why? She knows Kala Torah Kula. She knows Shulchan Aruch with the Shach and the Taz. She knows Tshuvas Noi de Bihuda, Ktzoy Sachoyshen, Shev Shmaitza, with every diuk of the Chazoynish on Shavs Tshuvas Noi de Bihuda. You don't have to stand up for her. Why? Because you're only a Talmud Chacham if you're mechuyev to be Oisik and Torah. If you're not mechuyev, what's the halach about Tavi, Eved, Reben Gamliel? He was a great Torah sage. He's not considered a Talmud Chacham. You would not have to stand up for him. Only someone who's mitzuva ve'oisa, one would have to stand up for them. In Chaschinach Paskins, you would not have to stand up for her. However, the Shal Sechuvas Beis Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Ayish, and Rabbi Yitzchak Atiyah, and the Zari Yitzchak, brings from the Pri Chadash that one would have to stand up for an Isha Chaver. And Shal Sechuvas Beis Yehuda says you would have to stand up for her. Her Torah knowledge would be considered of value and worthy of respect. Here's the bottom line. As much as you're probably saying, oh, I have some kind of opinion or agenda, this is a sugya like any other, and the opinion of Chazal is to be very circumspect in terms of recognizing Chachmas HaTorah in an Isha in terms of in a decisive manner. But I think there comes out, there's an interesting geder that's created by Noid Vihuda and the Chassam Sofer and the Shari Tshuva, and that is Stam, how to read Psukim in Chumash. The Pasuk says in Lamed Hei Chav Hei, V'chol Isha Chachmas Lev B'yadeh HaTavu, that wise women, they sowed, indicating to Shas that the wisdom of woman is reserved for a sort of domesticated type of activities. But now the question is, the next Pasuk, can you have a Madrega, V'chol HaNoshim Asher Nosa Liba, can you have a Madrega, a woman who's so generously compelled to be eminent in Torah scholarship, is that valued? The Noid Yehuda seems to recognize that possibility. So does the Chida, although the Chida classifies it as mamish miyuta de miyuta, that even Rav Meir is not choshish for. But again, it could be the Magen Avraham, the Munkacher would say, even that Madrega is for... Now, it's interesting. The Gemara in Shabbos says, v'chol ha'noshim ha'shanozim yonosanu b'chachma tovu es ho'izim, sowing goat hair on the goat, do you remember what the Gemara in Shabbos says? It's Chochma Yisera. Is a very unusual type of wisdom is needed. So it could be, no, people would say, so a woman of such calibers, Chochma is recognized. And the Magen Avraham would say, look, at the end of the day, it's still reserved for that type of Chochma. Now, there's an interesting Tashbetz who says that the women in Mitzrayim, they learned the skill of Tevia because they had an emunah that one day they would come out of Mitzrayim and they would bake the Mishkan, and therefore they learned the skill in advance. So it comes out very beautiful. That's why they're called Chachamim, because Ezehu Chacham Harayas Hanoilad. So the whole Chachma that they had was not only in the skill, but the fact that they learned the skill in advance to be prepared for the upcoming scenario. But the bottom line is that... One thing that we can learn from here. Whatever the Shita is, there was a great woman by the name of the wife of the Sma. And if you study her Seder Hayom, I mean, think about it. She spent 5 hours in the Shul every morning. She then went to learn Chumash. And then she spent the rest of the day doing Chesed and Tzedakah. So I often hear from, only men have to give an accounting for their time because men have to learn, but men have a mitzvah. Women don't have that mitzvah, so their time is not, they're not accountable for their time. No, they're not accountable to use their time for learning. But life is life for anybody, and the value of a shah achas is just as valuable for a woman as for a man. And yafesh shah achas ba'ilam azeh mikochayilam abba is true for all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Kol Bar Yisrael has to give an accounting for every moment of life. Nobody could say, well, I don't have to learn right now, so therefore I could just, surf the web and check out a different news outlet's take on what's happening in the Ukraine. Nobody has any idea, and they all say the exact same thing. And they're making 90% of it up anyway, just to be for sensationalism. So nobody can say, well, I saw the news here, I'm going to check it out over here. It's Bittelsman for everybody. Just get the bottom line. But a woman like the wife of the Sma, she spent her entire life devoted to tefillah, to Torah, to chesed, to tzedakah. Every machshava she had was to be mizdabek to Torah u'mitzvos, and that is a limud for everyone. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Bracha v'hatzlacha. Rashi's daughter? She's a very nice lady.
First of all, how much are you selling this?
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.